Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Chinese state media attack White House moves to curb company access to U.S. tech.
The escalation has some firms now calling a full-blown trade war their base case scenario.
Stocks slide and havens catch a bid as investors dig in for an extended dispute.
A federal judge rejects President Trump's efforts to block banks from producing financial records to lawmakers, plus deadly tornadoes in the Midwest. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Five more Yankee home runs and another win in Baltimore. The Mets, with six runs in the eighth inning, beat Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Insight. BNY Mellon Pershing's must-attend event for the financial advice community, June 12th through the 14th in Phoenix. If you haven't registered, visit BNYMellonInsight.com to register today.
It is 5:01 on Wall Street. I'm going to check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are lower, down 22 points. Dow futures down 187. NASDAQ futures down 82. The DAX in Germany down 1.6%. So is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 down 1.1%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.6%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.6%. 10-year Treasury is up 0.1%. It is up 4/32. The yield 2.36%. The yield on the 2-year 2.19%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7%, down 44 cents. To $60.98 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 80 cents to $12.75 an ounce. And the euro at 1.1137 against the dollar. The yen 110.14. Nathan.
Karen, trade war concerns remain the major theme this morning. Chinese state-run media are attacking U.S. moves to curb Chinese companies. They're warning that the Trump administration poses a threat to global business. Joe Sobchak reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
There is some move in China to ramp up anti-U.S. sentiment, but Chinese officials are wondering some of the same things that people in Washington are, whether this is a tactical or a strategic move by the Trump administration, whether this is something that is brought to bear into negotiations and could be lifted once a deal is made, or from the Chinese standpoint, the concern is whether the U.S. is fundamentally attempting to curb the rise of China as a global economic power.
Risk assets are under pressure and havens are in demand as investors dig in for a protracted dispute between the U.S. and China.
A full-blown trade war has been one of the biggest downside risks this year, but now some firms are making it their baseline case. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Goldman Sachs, Nomura, and J.P. Morgan among those rewriting their forecasts. Nomura sees nearly all imports from China hit by tariff hikes. J.P. Morgan says levies could stay in place for the long haul. And economists at Goldman warned that additional tariffs could easily become their base case. David Page, a senior economist at AXA Investment Managers.
What's clearly evident is the risks that this doesn't get resolved are rising. And as both sides see a hardening of position, of a sort of ramping up of rhetoric, it becomes harder to de-escalate. And that's what I think is being reflected in those assessments and in our own assessments.
J.P. Morgan says relations are so strained that a Chinese company couldn't buy a trash can of the U.S. right now. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Stocks in Asia took another leg lower today, with the regional benchmark index now down 6% since President Trump's move to ramp up tariffs this month. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell to fresh January lows as equities from Sydney to Tokyo and Shanghai fell on trade concerns. The trade concerns saw the onshore yuan fall despite a stronger fix from the PBOC, while the Aussie was also lower and Australia's 10-year government yields hit record lows. But the Modi euphoria lifted the Sensex to record highs intraday, at one point trading past 40,000 points, while Indonesian stocks also rallied as Credit Suisse said investors should re-enter the market following recent declines. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Like you just said, stocks in India are getting a lift as votes are counted from the weekend's election. So far, Prime Minister Narendra Modi has a commanding lead. Bloomberg's Haslinda Amin reports from New Delhi.
Narendra Modi's BJP coalition currently leading, and that does feel like it is a clean sweep. It is important because it means that if this trend persists, then Narendra Modi will have a landslide victory if he does indeed win the next 5 years. What he needs to do to ensure that he fulfills his pledges, which he has failed to do in the first 5 years, taking a look at growth, 7% not enough to pull the poor out of poverty and also to create the 10 million jobs he needs to do per year.
Stocks in India are gaining on the news, but votes are still being counted, so still no final official result.
Meanwhile, in the UK, the pound is weaker for the third straight day as a revolt over Brexit looks set to force Theresa May from office. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The pro-Brexit cabinet minister, Andrea Leadsom, who is leader of the House of Commons, has quit Theresa May's government. Meanwhile, senior rank-and-file members of the Prime Minister's Conservative Party have held a crisis meeting to consider her future. May's office said the PM was disappointed at the resignation but would stay focused on delivering Brexit. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. Here in the U.S., minutes from the Fed show officials pushing back against cutting interest rates anytime soon. Lindsay Piazza is chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus.
Reading the minutes, it does seem like there's still a significant amount of uncertainty regarding the pathway for rates, even in the near term. So going through just to the end of the year. Now, no one talked about an outright rate cut, but there were still questions about sitting on the sideline. Some mentioned a potential further rate increase. So still a lot of discussion going on.
Traders are currently pricing in a near certain chance of a rate cut by year's end.
And as Deutsche Bank holds its annual shareholder meeting in Frankfurt, CEO Christian Sewing says more cutbacks are coming to the firm's investment bank. While he didn't say exactly where the cuts would be, Sewing made sure not to mention the bank's equities business. It is an omission one source tells us was intentional, the CEO instead choosing to highlight successes at Deutsche Bank's equities unit.
S&P futures lower, down about 22 points. Dow futures down 181 and NASDAQ futures down 79. The DAX in Germany down 1.6%. Straight ahead, we have this latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Hi, Karen. Thanks. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get that latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A second federal judge has now rebuffed President Donald Trump's sweeping attempt to block House lawmakers from accessing his financial records, handing him another defeat in a fight that has infuriated the president and opened deep rifts with Democrats. A New York judge refused yesterday to block congressional subpoenas seeking financial records from two banks that did business with President Trump. It comes after the president stormed out of a meeting with Democratic leaders at the White House. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer arrived to meet with the president on infrastructure. When the president showed up,
I told Senator Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, I want to do infrastructure. I want to do it more than you want to do it. I'd be really good at that. That's what I do. But you know what? You can't do it under these circumstances. So get these phony investigations over with.
And Schumer says the president then walked out.
To watch what happened in the White House would make your jaw drop.
Earlier, Pelosi said the president was engaged in a cover-up. The National Weather Service says violent tornadoes touched down overnight near Jefferson City and Joplin, Missouri. Authorities say the tornado caused catastrophic damage. Emergency crews are trying to rescue those in need. The Pentagon is planning to brief the White House on options to deploy as many as 5,000 American troops to the Middle East amid escalating tensions with Iran. America's top air safety regulator is holding discussions with dozens of other nations today in Fort Worth, Texas. They'll be considering the fate of Boeing's troubled 737 MAX jetliner after two deadly crashes. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
It's been a globally recognized leading arbiter of aviation safety, but the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration was one of the last to decide to ground the 737 MAX. In a bid to demonstrate its commitment to safety, the agency has invited 57 delegates from 31 countries, plus the European Aviation Safety Agency and the United Nations International Civil Aviation Organization, to see how thorough it's being in its review. And Acting Chief Daniel Elwell stresses he'll be listening, too. He told reporters if there is a crisis of confidence, he's aiming to show that the world still talks together about aviation safety issues. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, it's been a good week for New York baseball, both facing teams from down around the Beltway. Both have won three in a row, go for four-game sweeps this afternoon. The Yankees never want to leave Baltimore, especially Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez, who incredibly have combined to already this season, combined to hit 18 home runs against Orioles pitching. 10 for Torres, two more last night, 8 for Sanchez. He's homer in every game this series. DJ LeMahieu and Tyro Estrada also went deep as the Yanks won 7-5. They've won 23 of the last 30. CC Sabathia got the win but has knee inflammation, likely to miss his next start. And Giancarlo Stanton's return with yet another setback due to a strained calf. Much has changed for the Mets. They had those three bad losses in Miami, but now three wins over Washington. Last night, 6-1. The manager is Mickey Callaway.
I mean, when you win, there's a different feel. I still think during the game, in the moment of the game, there's not a ton of difference in the dugout. When Gomez is on the field, it's definitely quieter. But, when you win, you have a different air about you, a different confidence, and I'm definitely feeling that part of it.
Mets were four outs from losing 1-0 when they suddenly erupted for six runs in the eighth inning. Juan Ligueras with a three-run double and Rajay Davis with a three-run homer in his first Mets at-bat. 37-year-old outfielder just called up from Syracuse didn't arrive at Citi Field until the third inning. Bucks and Raptors have their Game 5 tonight in Milwaukee. Can Toronto get production from their star Kawhi Leonard? He was limping in the Raptors' Game 4 victory. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. In other sports news, FIFA is scrapping plans to expand the 2022 Qatar World Cup to 48 nations. Instead, it's sticking with the 32 countries currently in due to the political and logistical complexities of using another Persian Gulf nation. That means the World Cup won't be expanded until 2026, with FIFA already having approved a format with 48 teams for that tournament. It's going to be held in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Equities pointed lower around the world. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are tracking a slide in Asia as trade tensions between the world's two largest economies show little sign of easing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 22 points. Dow futures down 185. NASDAQ futures down 81. The DAX in Germany is down 1.6%. Right now, COMEX gold is little changed, up 70 cents at $1,274.90 an ounce. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.9% or 52 cents at $60.90 a barrel. 10-year treasury up 5/32, the yield 2.36%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.19%. The euro at 1.1136 against the dollar, the yen 110.14. And today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index at 10 new home sales. Best Buy, Gap, and Medtronic among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A second federal judge has ruled in favor of congressional Democrats seeking President Trump's financial records. The president tried to block his longtime lender, Deutsche Bank, from complying with a congressional subpoena, but a federal judge rejected that request. The National Weather Service says a violent tornado has touched down in Missouri, causing possible fatalities and heavy damage. The service reports that a confirmed large and destructive tornado was observed over Jefferson City late last night. In baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles 7-5. The Mets beat the Nationals 6-1. The Red Sox won along with the A's. The Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And let's bring in our first guest now, Richard Jones, FX and rate strategist on the Bloomberg Markets Live team. Richard joins us from our London or our Berlin bureau, excuse me, in Germany. This morning, as we continue to watch this equity sell-off this morning, Richard, we've been reporting that a number of banks on Wall Street are making a a prolonged trade war with China their baseline case now. Considering this sell-off, I wonder if investors are starting to do the same.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. That really is the theme that's been dominating trade here in Europe today. Sort of, it feels like the trade rhetoric on both sides is actually hardening now, and we go. You know, we don't have to rewind that long ago, 4 to 6 weeks ago, and everybody, I think, was still optimistic that the two sides would be able to come to some sort of agreement, that there was accommodations would be found, and that we'd have a deal. And that's looking increasingly less likely. So I think you're right to say that as a lot of Wall Street commentators are saying now, that it's becoming the baseline that we will actually have heightened trade war going forward, investors are really starting to buy into that scenario.
Yeah, it is interesting considering the fact that, many of the market participants we've been speaking with here on Daybreak are, saying that they're still calling for the S&P 500 to go above 3,000 this year. And, I mean, if, a continued trade war starts to eat into earnings, you sort of wonder whether that scenario can play out.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the key. We've got a bit of a disconnect if you look at the U.S. interest rate markets and the U.S. equity markets. The equity markets have taken a little bit of a tumble, but they're still relatively strong. They're relatively buoyant. But the interest rate market, especially the short end of the U.S. curve, has really taken what I would call like a gloomy outlook on what's ahead of us. And that the not only the trade war, but the fact that I think everybody is saying, look, the U.S. economy is probably very late cycle right now. It's peaked. These trade tensions aren't helping. And so over the past 4 to 6 months, the U.S. interest rate market has started to price more aggressively that the next move by the Fed will not only be a cut, but it'll actually be maybe towards the end of this year, early next year. That's evolved over the past few months. And I think that the equity market, as you say, if the earnings really do start to get hit, then I think they play catch up to the interest rate markets.
Yeah, that plays very nicely into the MLive question of the day that's on MLive Go this morning. Why are bonds pricing cuts that the Fed doesn't see? I mean, we got the minutes yesterday. They're talking patience for quite some time.
I think the bond markets are always a little bit more gloomy than the equity markets. And I also think that the bond markets aren't calling for an immediate rate cut. This is still 6 to 9 months away, I think. It sort of gravitates between being, when the market gets very, very bearish on the economy about 6 months from now, and then if they're a little bit less bearish, it's about 9 months from now. So it's nothing immediate, and I think that's consistent with what the Fed is saying. It's just if you fast forward, as I say, 6 to 9 months from now, the market takes a much more gloomy outlook than the Fed does, and certainly more gloomy than what the equity market is saying.
I know you've been keeping an eye on the pound for quite some time as, Brexit continues to play out here. And it seems as though Prime Minister Theresa May's future is hanging by a thread. Where do you see sterling going if May is forced out sooner than she'd like to be?
Well, I think you're right to highlight that as the main driver. I think that it's a question of if now rather than when that Theresa May actually leaves the prime ministership in the UK. And, I think initially we can go down to the lowest levels we've seen this year. So I think we trade below 125 in the cable rate. That's the sterling versus the dollar. But you can't rule out the actual post-referendum lows, around 120. I think there's this, as the political uncertainty ratchets higher, and it looks like that is going to be the theme in the coming weeks and months, I think it's going to play out very badly for the currency, and I do foresee a fair bit of downside for the pound.
So you see uncertainty for many more months as opposed to weeks.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's multi-levels here, Nathan. You've got, obviously, the immediate problem. Okay, Theresa May will no longer be prime minister, perhaps sooner rather than later. Who then succeeds her? It's probably going to be a Brexit hardliner. What that means is that the likelihood of a no-deal Brexit is actually higher when that new leader takes over than it is now. add to the mix the possibility that we have a general election on the back of all of this and a potential Labour government which is not nearly as pro-business as the current government, and you can see why this thing becomes not just something that gets resolved very, very quickly, but something that drags on for months and months and months. And remember, the deadline for the current Brexit deadline is the 31st of October.
Richard Jones, FX rate strategist on the Bloomberg Markets Live team with us from Berlin. Richard, thank you for this. Really appreciate it. 5:24 on Wall Street, straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're going to have more on the ratcheting tensions between the U.S. and China. More Wall Street banks making a full-blown trade war their base case, plus more of the latest in business, economics, and finance. As those trade tensions persist, futures are diving deeper into the red. S&P futures now down 25 points. Dow futures down 215, and NASDAQ futures down 92. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the third year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks falling around the world as U.S. China trade tensions show little sign of easing. S&P futures are down 0.9%. The Stock Europe 600 is lower by 1.4%. In Asia, the CSI 300 index fell 1.8% to its lowest level in 3 months.
Now, full-blown trade war has been one of the biggest downside risks this year, but now some firms are making it their base case. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And economists at some of the biggest financial institutions growing increasingly pessimistic, Nathan. Goldman Sachs, Nomura, and J.P. Morgan among those rewriting their forecasts. Analysts at Nomura made a 25% hike in levies on another $300 billion of imports. Their baseline forecast, they see it as a 65% probability before year end. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Meanwhile, minutes from the Fed show officials in no hurry to move interest rates up or down, and an escalation in the U.S.-China trade war could keep them on hold even longer. Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger.
The Fed didn't even mention a rate cut, so that didn't seem like it was on the table. They're also saying that the inflationary issues, they're going to be transitory. So this might be a bit more hawkish than markets had assumed.
Right now, the 10-year Treasury up 7/32, the yield 2.35%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.19%.
In India, stocks are gaining as preliminary election results show Prime Minister Narendra Modi set to win a majority.
In Europe, the pound is weaker for the third straight day as Theresa May's premiership hangs by a thread. A high-profile cabinet minister quit, and a growing revolt over Brexit could force the British leader from power.
Euro area private sector output remained subdued in May as demand stayed stagnant and companies scaled back expansion plans. A purchasing manager's index for the period inched up to 51.6.
And Deutsche Bank CEO Christian Sewing says more cutbacks are coming to the firm's investment bank. While he didn't say exactly where the cuts will be, Sewing made sure not to mention the bank's equities business. Right now, again, futures are lower. S&P futures are down 26 points. Dow futures down 225. NASDAQ futures down 95. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. The CAC in Paris down 1.7%. And the FTSE 100 is down 1.3%. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Hi, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is up to tell us what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The National Weather Service says a violent tornado touched down in Jefferson City, Missouri, causing possible fatalities and heavy damage. Jasper County Emergency Management Director Keith Stammer says there are reports of damage to homes north of Joplin.
We have fire and police and EMS units currently stationed there, and they are doing door-to-door searching.
A line of dangerous storms also moved through Oklahoma. About 15 tornadoes have been reported in the two states. It's another defeat in President Donald Trump's effort to block access to his financial records. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
A federal judge in New York has rejected the president's request to keep banks from producing financial records to lawmakers. The president calls it a fishing expedition and harassment. Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff calls it a clear message.
It sends a message that two different judges, same conclusion, not just that you're wrong, but your arguments don't even raise serious legal questions. And what's more, we're not going to be a party to an effort to delay Congress in the discharge of its oversight responsibilities.
The banks involved, Capital One and Deutsche Bank. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, Republicans have criticized the investigations into President Trump. GOP Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana.
I say this gently, and I say this hopefully constructively to my friends in the House leadership. The House leadership needs to urinate or get off the pot.
Kennedy's comments come after an infrastructure meeting between top Democrats and President Trump unraveled within minutes. Earlier, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the president was engaged in a cover-up. The president abruptly walked out of the briefing, declaring he would no longer work with them unless they drop all congressional investigations.
I don't do cover-ups. You people know that probably better than anybody.
In a letter to her colleagues, Pelosi accused the president of throwing a public temper tantrum. The Pentagon is planning to brief the White House on options to deploy as many as 5,000 American troops to the Middle East amid escalating tensions with Iran. U.S. naval ships travel through the Taiwan Strait as faltering trade talks and the Trump administration's move to restrict Chinese tech companies' access to the American market fuel tensions. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Camden Yards has always been a home run friendly park, and the Orioles have brutal pitching. They're on pace to give up the most home runs in baseball history. They've already served up 105. The Yankees hit five more last night and won 7-5. Gleyber Torres homered twice. He's hit 10 against Baltimore this season. Gary Sanchez has hit 8. The Yanks go for a four-game sweep this afternoon. So did the Mets against Washington. Last night, battle of Cy Young winners, although Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer came in a combined 5-10. The Nationals led 1-0 with two outs in the eighth inning. Juan Lagares with a three-run double. Rajay Davis, a three-run homer. The veteran outfielder's first Met at bat, just called up from Syracuse due to Brandon Nimmo's neck injury. Didn't get to Citi Field until the third inning. The Mets won 6-1. Robinson Cano had to leave with a calf injury suffered while, yes, hustling, running out a ground ball, something Cano has often, including lately, been heavily criticized for not doing. You can go home again. Juwan Howard, former Michigan star, named the Wolverines' new basketball coach, and John Davidson, former Rangers goalie, longtime broadcaster, taking over the rebuilding effort as the Rangers' new team president.
There's a lot of work to do here. There's no shortcuts. It's nothing but hard work, and it takes patience and resolve. And I really want to make sure that I use the word patience and I use the word resolve, because we're going to be in a battle here to get this club to be better. But you have to be patient when you go through a build like this. It's just what it is.
JD replaces the retiring Glenn Sather. He's already run teams in St. Louis and Columbus. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story is WeWork ahead of its planned IPO. Ellen Hewitt wrote it for Bloomberg Business Week.
The cover story is about WeWork and major questions that many people have about WeWork, which is, can it make it work?
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. Google has added another address to its New York City property portfolio. The division of Alphabet has purchased the Milk Building, an eight-story, 325,000-square-foot office and retail property from Jamestown. The building's connected via a sky bridge to Chelsea Market, which Google bought last year. Terms were not disclosed. Well, more than 20 years after the initial switch to Metro cards from tokens, The New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority will accept tap-to-pay credit and debit cards for the subway and for bus fares. It's not just for public transportation these days. Visa says 80 of the top 100 U.S. retailers now take those cards. Well, the New York golf tax threat of 2019 appears to have passed, but lawmakers who raised it are preparing to take another swing at it in 2020. The bill would pave the way for much higher assessments of golf courses. Bloomberg says its chances of passing before the session ends in June, though, are slim. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thanks. 5:39 on Wall Street now. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about the long-term impact of the Qualcomm antitrust ruling.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Gasoline imports to the U.S. surged to an 8-year high last week.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We are reporting on an activist shareholder lobbying for a sale of Merlin Entertainment, the operator of the London Eye and Legoland, because the shares are undervalued, they say.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WBBM listeners in Chicago how United and American Airlines are bracing for passenger turbulence over the eventual return of the Boeing 737 MAX.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting Fiat Chrysler is bringing new models to Brazil.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, Amazon. It's developing a voice-activated wearable device that can recognize human emotions. The wrist-worn gadget's described as a health and wellness product. In internal documents reviewed by Bloomberg, they say it's designed to work with a smartphone app. It has microphones paired with software that can discern the wearer's emotional state from the sound of his or her own voice. Documents go on to say eventually the technology could be able to advise the wearer how to interact more effectively with others. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, have trade tensions between the U.S. and China created a great wall of worry? Michael Hewson, chief market strategist at CMC Markets, joins us next. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are tracking a slide in Asia as trade tensions between the world's two largest economies show little sign of easing. Right now, S&P futures are down 28 points, Dow futures down 242, NASDAQ futures down 99, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is down 1.9%. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 2.35%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7% at $1.05 to $60.37 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.10 to $12.75.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1135 against the dollar. The yen at 110.08. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a federal judge in New York rejected President Donald Trump's request to keep his banks from producing financial records to lawmakers. The ruling hands House Democrats a second courtroom win this week in their efforts to look into the president's finances. Cleanup efforts are underway in central Missouri after severe weather whipped through the area last night, leaving devastation and destruction. The National Weather Service says a violent tornado touched down in Jefferson City, causing possible fatalities. In baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles 7-5. The Mets beat the Nationals 6-1. The Red Sox won along with the A's. The Giants lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Our next guest this morning, Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, joining us from London as we continue to watch European stocks and U.S. futures contracts dive deeper into the red. Is this all trade-driven, Michael?
Yeah, I certainly think that it is. But I also think there is an element of, I think, concern about the lack of pickup In European data this morning, we had some flash PMIs out of France and Germany, and while we saw a slight improvement in French activity, it was negligible, and German activity continued to weaken, particularly in manufacturing. And if you look at the biggest down movers, I think in terms of the decliners, we've got Daimler down 7%, over 7%, which would suggest that there are significant trade concerns going there. And I think, you know, there is rising concern, given where we were a month ago in terms of trade and where we are now, that we're not going to get a speedy resolution to this. And as such, I think investors are getting a little bit nervous about valuations at their current levels. And I think you can see that borne out by the way US futures are reacting. And I think if we retest the April lows, then we could see further declines. I'm not overly concerned at the moment, but if we do break those April lows, then we could well see further selling kick in.
How much further do you see the S&P 500 going potentially?
Well, for me, I think the key level really is around about 2,800, which was obviously those twin lows that we saw around about the beginning of the month, actually, 13th, 14th of May last week. We had a decent rebound off there, but there was also the March lows in and around 2,780. So between 2,780 and 2,800 on the S&P, I think if we can hold above that, it's also the 200-day moving average. On a technical basis, if we get a break below that, then I would be very concerned that we could see a much broader rollover. And certainly in the context of what US treasuries are doing, yields are coming down. You've got safe haven currencies like the yen and the Swiss. They're starting to do an awful lot better. It does suggest to me that there is increasing nervousness and investors are now starting to hedge their bets somewhat in terms of the future direction of equity markets. And given how tech-heavy the rebound has been over the last 2 years, then the US FANG index is particularly vulnerable to a particular sell-off, given how much of that index has driven this move higher.
If we see the business environment play out the way investors seem to be betting with these declines, what does that mean for the Federal Reserve? We just got those minutes yesterday. It seemed to indicate that the Fed is willing to be patient for quite some time. I mean, if it starts to eat into GDP, I mean, where do you see the Fed going?
I see the Fed's next move being a cut in interest rates, and I certainly don't think those minutes really change the picture with respect to that, because they predate the breakdown in trade talks. So the Fed was looking at the US economy through the prism of a possible trade agreement. That now looks much less likely. So the macro environment has changed markedly. And I was very struck by the tone yesterday of St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, because he suggested that the Fed may have overdone it in December. And while he didn't say that the Fed was likely to ease rates in the near future, I certainly think he's preparing the ground, if economic conditions don't improve, for a potential rate cut as early as December.
Only about 30 seconds left here. We're awaiting preliminary U.S. PMIs later on this morning. What will you be watching for there?
I'll certainly be looking for whether or not we see a further deterioration in the manufacturing sector PMIs. The biggest concern I have about them, though, Nathan, is the fact that they do tend to diverge a little bit from the ISM. So I'm not really sure as to how instructive they will be, but certainly I think in the context of domestic demand or domestic turnover, I'll be looking for evidence that we're not seeing further weakness there.
Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, with us from London. Always good to get your insights. Thanks for being here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen, back to you.
Nathan, thank you. It is currently 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Phone makers and rival chip makers may get more favorable terms when licensing standard essential patents under a federal court ruling that Qualcomm's business model violated antitrust law. The IRS's Public-Private Information Sharing Center for Combating Tax Fraud is tackling several new projects this year, including integration of data breach information from the Federation of Tax Administrators. And the out-of-pocket costs for insulin users in Colorado will be limited to $100 per one-month supply starting January 1st under a bill signed by Governor Jared Polis.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching this morning. A federal judge siding with the FTC and ruling that Qualcomm violated antitrust law by abusing its dominant position in the market for cell phone chips. The judge says that suppressed competition and led to excessive licensing fees for phone makers. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to NYU antitrust law professor Harry First.
Professor, Judge Lucy Koh ruled against Qualcomm on virtually every point and said that its licensing practices have strangled competition in certain modem chip markets. Is that exactly what Apple had accused it of?
Apple accused it of exacting excessive royalty rates and forbidding it from using, through its exclusivity agreements, from using other chips, particularly chips by Intel. The two cases are similar in the sense that the Federal Trade Commission had included Apple's exclusivity agreements in its case. But the two parties are really seeking different things. So Apple was seeking lower royalty rates in the end. The Federal Trade Commission is really attacking Qualcomm's business model. But it, too, was very worried about the high prices that Qualcomm's been able to exact patent licensing.
As far as the judge's opinion, was her language very strong?
I think very is a weak adjective.
Oh.
Yes, very strong, although in some ways not surprising. She had been ruling in preliminary rulings, particularly at a fairly recent stage in the proceedings, that it looked pretty much like the Federal Trade Commission case was pretty strong. But when you read through her opinion, it's really a litany of Qualcomm's licensing practices, what their intent was, and what the effect has been on innovation and pricing in cell phone technology and handsets more generally. So it is quite strong. It's based on trial, hearing witnesses, doing the things that trial court judges are supposed to do, which is to judge the evidence, assess the credibility of the various witnesses on both sides, and come to a decision.
And that's NYU antitrust law professor Harry First speaking of Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Right now, S&P futures are lower, down 28 points. Dow futures down 241 and NASDAQ futures down 102. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%, CAC in Paris down 1.7%, and the FTSE 100 down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.35%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.19%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.